Good morning. It's April the 28th, 2024, in the year of our Lord. And the title for my message is Staying Connected. And my scripture passage comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Staying connected. In my home, I do the bulk of the yard work, mowing the yard, trimming tree branches and the bushes as well, picking up branches in the yard following a storm of any kind, and then bundling them up for future fires as kindling, or bagging them as yard waste for the town. I do all the leaf removal in the fall and then whenever it is needed throughout the year, it seems, because we have so many hardwood trees around our homes. At some point, I came to the realization it's wise to spend money on a leaf backpack, and that's what I've done, and it is a huge savings of time and energy. I also decided when we first moved here to purchase a handheld leaf blower, and the reason I did that was because I used to clean the gutters on a ladder and taking my hand and scooping out all the gunk until I had a neighbor tell me, and he said, Chris, what are you doing? Why don't you get a handheld leaf blower? Stand on your roof because it does not have a steep pitch and just simply blow out the leaves when your gutters are dry. And that's exactly what I've been doing. But now I must admit, recently we decided to purchase new gutters, and that means leaf or gutter guards. And these are metal screwed in that the squirrels cannot take apart. And in addition to all of that, I certainly do all the snow removal from the sidewalks and the driveway where we live. Despite all of that outside yard work, I have never been a gardener of any kind. But I do know from reading and talking to others that for certain plants and fruit trees, you must prune them to ensure a healthy, vibrant fruit tree or bush will grow and flower. You know, a rose bush left to itself will often grow in on itself with the branches becoming tangled. And if that's the case, then for many of the roses that are produced, they're not going to be the best. They're going to be small. They're going to be diminished. But a good gardener, when it comes to a rose bush, will cut out the parts of the plant that are growing inwards and those that are becoming tangled. And a good gardener will encourage the other shoots to grow outwards and upwards towards the sunlight. You prune a rose bush to help it be its true self. And that same gardening principle is more or less the same for vines. You know, within the Jewish religious tradition that we would call the Old Testament, the vine was a word picture or symbol for ancient Israel. God brought Israel out of Egypt, the land of slavery and misery, and planted them in the promised land of Canaan. And that's found from Psalm 80, verses 8 through 18 for your reference. Israel, however, was ravaged by wild animals and needed protecting and over time to be replanted. The vineyard of Israel, said the prophet Isaiah, produced wild sour grapes instead of sweet succulent grapes. And again, for your reference, that's Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. This theme of Israel being a vine, or Israel being the vineyard of the Lord, was also used by other biblical prophets as well concerning God's people. And such notable prophets would be Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Amos, etc. So with that background and context, it's not surprising that Jesus stated emphatically to his disciples, quote, that I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. So what are the main points that Christ is teaching his disciples, and what he is teaching us today, whether as an individual Christian or as a Christian congregation? Early on in my ministry, when I served as an assistant pastor from 96 to 98, the senior pastor and the staff came up with a tagline. And that tagline was really the motto of that ministry. And the tagline that I remember seeing it on the bulletins, seeing it on the websites, you name it, the tagline was this: where Christ is at the center of all we do. Pretty simple, straightforward, sound biblically, and easy to remember. Jesus is at the heart of everything we do in the church and in our lives, or should be. Whenever we forget that biblical truth, everything goes crooked and wrong. This is true for preaching, teaching, giving, serving, and family life. Everything. Have you ever been to a church meeting of any kind and you wondered and asked yourself afterwards, where does Jesus fit into all this? You know, branches from a vine are grafted into its life-giving sap, or they no longer remain branches, and they will wither and become brittle and eventually die. Churches are just like branches. The family of God cannot remain alive and even survive without the Lord being central in everything done in it. You see, if God and Christ are our vine and we are his branches, then it makes perfect sense that how we treat people who live next to us and work with us becomes a religious matter of the heart. So let's think about that. How do we raise our children or possibly our grandchildren? And what are we teaching them by our example, by word and deed? Because sometimes, folks, you can be a wonderful example, but you might have to verbally explain your actions and your thought processes. People are not mind readers. How do we relate and interact with the family, either through bloodlines or through spiritual lines in a church? How do we spend our money? And do we support the church with it or not? What type of friends do we choose to associate with, and why? Are we staying connected with the people of God or not? You know, our natural disposition and temperament changes when Christ is central to our lives, when he is the vine and we remain branches grafted into him, our life source. So we can change when that indeed is the case. Our ill will and revenge changes to empathy and support. Deep-seated hate can turn to love. Greed and stinginess can turn outward instead of focusing inward and being generous. Apathy and indifference can then become like concern and genuine interest in the well-being of others. A me-first attitude changes to after you. Holding on to grudges can be turned into learning the art and skill of forgiveness. And unbelief and anger can be transformed into belief and peace within. You and I can become the person God created us to be in the first place because we have and are connected to the source of life. Let me read again verse 4. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, if we are indeed like the vine and the branches bearing fruit for God, who was Jesus speaking of when he spoke of fruitless branches that are thrown away and withered? Well, two answers suffice. On the one hand, historically speaking, all unbelieving, apostate Jews who rejected the gospel of Christ. They were branches of God's chosen vine, that being Israel. And that is the message repeated again and again by the biblical prophets, as I mentioned earlier. However, some Jews in ancient Israel and at the time of Christ refused to listen to the laws of God, and they refused God's visitation with them through Jesus. And as a result, they became separated from the vine. They became withered and brittle and lifeless, both to themselves and, more importantly, to their Creator. So that's one answer that will suffice. A second answer, and maybe this is something more in general, is that Jesus was speaking of future Christians whose faith or Christianity consisted of profession and name only rather than practice. Words without deeds, in other words. Christians who sadly became useless branches, leaves with no fruit. Maybe he also had in mind Christians who had abandoned their faith and became too entangled with the affairs of the world. Any Christian in his or her right mind did not want to become a useless branch for Christ. Any Christian in his or her right mind should not refuse to listen to the call of Christ. You know, there are some Christians that render to Jesus lip service only, and they lack the deeds associated with their profession. Or there are other Christians who will simply bail on him when difficulties arise. Staying connected means that we need the nourishment, support, and growth that can only come from the roots and trunk in our faith. And that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read again verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. A word of caution. It is not wise to be one of those branches of the vine and not producing any kind of fruit. In fact, we need to see what vine we are grafted into if we are not producing fruit in our lives for Christ. We need to really ask ourselves a lot of questions. Are we rooted to the tradition of our families and our bloodlines instead of Christ? Are we grafted into our ego and what we want instead of what Christ wants? Are we grafted into the pursuit of money and wealth to the detriment and exclusion of the gospel message? Are we grafted into the pursuit of titles and positions and all the accolades that go with it? Are we grafted into that desire to be perpetually entertained, either by celebrities or sports? I read a story that I want to share with you, and I think it's worth repeating. A pastor from a large city church recalled how 5 Sunday school rooms were converted to small apartments to help people who were struggling with their lives. And he made the observation that as long as those folks that lived in the church apartments received subsequent help from the pastoral staff and the other members of the congregation, that things, relatively speaking, went well for them. It was when these individuals moved out of those apartments in the church that they drifted back into their old lifestyle and that trouble quickly came again. You see, the body of Christ helped them. And when they got away from it, they lost their direction and strength that they had found in the church. P.T. Forsyth, who was a Scottish theologian of the 19th and early 20th century, said the following: unless there is within us that which is above us, we shall soon yield to that which is around us. Let me repeat that quote again. Unless there is within us that which is above us, we shall soon yield to that which is around us. You know, for some of us listening to this message, staying connected with Christ is a profound spiritual experience that few words can describe. For many of us, it will mean rearranging our life around worship, prayer, listening intently to the Holy Spirit, setting time aside to read the Bible, and being intentional in our fellowship with other believers. Jesus instructed all of us to remain in Him, the vine. He did instruct us to remain in a pastor, a building, a denomination, but rather in Him. Sometimes it is easy to let our emotions get our loyalty to personalities, to causes, rather than the true vine of our faith. We must remember that our place as a branch belongs staying connected to the vine of Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Amen.